Hello, hello, what's happening, Hornets, and welcome back to the Bryant Media Podcast. My name is Eli Hill, and with me today I have...
Asher Bird.
And...
Landon Boyd.
How's y'all's day doing today?
Doing good, doing good. Broke my foot.
That is true. I see you brought in a scooter today.
I broke my foot last weekend, and so many of you listening to this podcast have probably seen me either on crutches or on my little scooter thing going down the halls. Many people I've heard all of the jokes, pop a wheelie, go drift, and other stuff like that. But it's been a ride.
Literally.
Pun intended.
Oh gosh. Landon, how about you?
I've been doing pretty well. I've just been keeping on the grind of school and stuff. I got that new Pokemon game, so that's been
you really?
Me. Yeah.
I need to borrow the copy from my friend because I don't have money because I don't have a job, but it looks amazing.
I have it too. I am two Pokemon away and from completing the Pokedex, and they are elusive. I can't find them.
It's like those roaming legendaries from the previous games.
No, kind of.
Where they're like just so hard to find sometimes.
Kind of. In the game, they have these new things called space-time distortions, which are an event that happens like once every hour. And the Pokemon I'm looking for spawns in one of those, and it's a rare spawn also in a certain area of the map. So combine all of that, and I'm having trouble finding it.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, don't you need to complete the Pokedex to like beat the game or something?
To fully beat the game, you need to complete the Pokedex to
like get to post game.
To get to Arceus.
Yeah.
No, not to post-game. Post-game is just defeat Palkia and Dialga. And then that sends you into post-game, but the finish of the post-game is in order to get to Arceus.
I say Arceus.
Yeah.
Arceus.
I'm going to just cover every basis because my friends have yelled at me for saying both ways. And you need to capture one of every Pokemon and in order to talk to Arceus. And that's being a pain.
Talk to Arceus.
Yes.
The way that's phrased.
At the beginning of the game, he literally talks to you and then sends you back in time and is like, haha, you're there now. And then he like takes your phone and transforms it into something. He makes it his own brand of phone. It's called the Arceus. It's called what, the
Arc phone?
Arc phone. Yeah.
For only $9.99 today, you can buy the Arc phone.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're not here to talk about Pokemon. Maybe in a later one, but we're here to talk about something that we all play, or at least, Landon, you play it, right?
I have a very loose understanding of.
Okay. Well, me and Asher play.
He has the first book. He has the player's guide.
I have like 8 books, and I haven't read any of them.
We're talking about Dungeons and Dragons or D&D. So the first question I want to ask is, how did y'all get into D&D?
Ooh. As many things like video games and stuff, I saw my older cousins. I don't have any brothers, and so they're all boys, and like, so I, except for one. But, you know, she's only a year older than me, so, but whatever. So I look up to them as, like, my older brothers. And, of course, that's how I got into video games, because they played so much of video games. And then they also played a bit of D&D, and so I started looking into it. And after that, the best way for me to explain D&D is it's you are writing a book with your character being one of the main characters.
Yeah.
And that... Me loving fantasy books, like, that is the one thing that I read constantly. I loved that, so I dived into it. I had to find a way to convince my parents to let me play it because, you know, their generation was the one where D&D got a bad rep for a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, where it was like D&D worships the devil or something.
Yeah, and then I found out that D&D was created by a Christian, and I was like, hey, parents... Here you go. Here's the facts. You can't tell me that this is demonic now. So then I got to play. I got to play my first campaign in Italy, with I forget his name. I still have his like Google contact, which is still funny. It was a homebrew campaign, and I played with one of my characters. I think I made an an Aarakocra, I think that's how you say it. It's like a bird person.
Yeah.
And I made them a sorcerer, and that was a lot of fun. So
Landon?
That was how I got
it. What about you? How'd you get into Dungeons and Dragons?
So I initially got my start in it, I believe, 9th or 10th grade. It was when they had like a D&D buzz time going on.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But my main appeal and like attraction to the game was the idea of being able to create just the most random character ever.
Yep. And
the shiny dice, of course, those little things knocking around, take kind of
click clacks.
Yeah, the little click clacks of the dice and just the goofy little monsters in there. Because
just want you to know, for clarification, people listening, I have my die in my pocket at all times. So that's what that is.
Yeah.
He just talking about the dice just made me remember that it's in my pocket.
But like the first ever character I made was just an orangutan like paladin who just wanted to live a peaceful life, and he had a giant claymore and the perfect name too, Bubbles.
Bubbles.
After
Bubbles.
Michael Jackson's chimp.
Oh, that's great. I got into it because my sister, I knew about it and I wanted to play it before, but my sister was like, "Hey, I'm going to DM a campaign. You want to join me and my friends?" And I was like, "Yeah." And so I rolled up a character. My first character was also an Aarakocra, it was a monk. I made mine an Aarakocra monk. And so he punched a lot of stuff, and I have some great moments from that campaign. And then we moved on to other stuff. And me and Asher were both on a Discord server, and we didn't know each other at the time, and we played D&D together.
Which was, those had some funny moments also.
Yes.
The Discord server in question is actually the
Saline County Library.
Saline County Library Discord for teens. And I would recommend for those of you listening, go check it out because there's a lot of fun. People have a lot of fun on there. They host different events and stuff.
And they play games and stuff. They go into the library. But it's just a fun little place to hang out. Right now, I don't think they're doing D&D right now.
No, not since Mr. Brett left.
Mr. Brett left, then we got another person that was supposed to do it. And then he left before he could start. And then I think that's it. I'm not sure if they've ever played again.
I'm pretty sure that one of the members of the Discord were like going to campaign their own campaign. Or were going to DM their own campaign. And that's where that left off.
All right, so I want to. Y'all are player specific. Do y'all play or do y'all want DM? You DM.
I do both.
Do you just play? How often do you play D&D?
Man, it's been a while. I haven't actually played like a real game for like a few years, and I only played like one legitimate one, and it ended off in such a way that it didn't even feel serious anymore.
That's kind of how a lot of some campaigns end.
Yeah. That's normally how it is. Sometimes it's either really serious or it's just so goofy you can't take it seriously. Yeah.
Either way, you miss doing it in the end.
It is. It's very I enjoy it a lot. Asher, I can only assume that you enjoy it a lot.
You know, I've only put a bunch of hours into making my own campaign.
Yeah. And then Landon, I think you slightly enjoy it, maybe.
I have a fondness for making really stupid characters.
Yeah.
I had a lizard man, and he just had a very weird fascination with gnomes to where he would just, like, grab gnomes and be like, "Hello there, how are you?"
"You're my friend now. We're going to get soft tacos later."
Yeah, that's basically it.
I could just imagine a giant lizard man just one arm just picking up by the head and be like, "Hello there."
Yeah.
So do y'all have a favorite character that y'all have made?
Ooh.
Or like one that you've put a bunch of thought into the backstory? Because my first character, no thought into backstory at all whatsoever. My second character, I'm writing a whole book about it. So
that's tough because I have two that I really, really like.
Yeah.
Put time and effort into. One of them is this one was my second or third character I made, and then I never got to finish that campaign that I used him in, so he was only like around level 7, and then that's actually the character that I put into Mr. Brett's campaign.
Yeah.
So this character was another bird man. He was a warlock, and I nicknamed him the Flame Prince, and he loved fire, and he was basically a pyromaniac.
A Kenku, or was he another Aarakocra?
Another Aarakocra.
Gotcha.
And then His background was, again, he was a prince, like an actual prince, but his kingdom had, but he ran away from his kingdom because he didn't like all of the royal stuff life. He wanted to be free and adventure. But then his kingdom fell, and now, and his dad died, and so now he's the king, and so his subjects have been looking for him, and his the kingdom has just gone into disarray. And he's run away from all that, and he doesn't know that that's happening now. He still thinks that it's a perfectly normal place, but after running away, he got into the wrong group of people and ended up basically making a name for himself in the underground
like fighting ring,
back alley, whatever you want to call it, criminal organizations. And he got really good at doing investigation jobs and like bounty hunting and stuff like that. So that's how he made a lot of money. And the way that I inserted him into Mr. Brett's campaign was the people who hired him wanted to know about the library. Mr. Brett's campaign was a bunch of one-shot campaigns.
Yeah, we did Candlekeep Mysteries, which is basically centered around this library where they send you on a bunch of like one-shot quests.
Yep. And the people who hired me wanted to know all about this library, and for some reason it was mystical or whatever. And that's a lot of the backstory. I could go into more depth of it, but that'd get way too long. Yeah. I actually like drew a symbol, which was his marking to like tell his like the people who hired him where the information was or whatever, you know, how to contact him.
See, that's exactly one of the main reasons I love D&D, because you just gave like a whole plot to like a movie or something that you could come up with in like a day, because it like gets your creative juices flowing. To either make a character, or if you're a DM, to what are you laughing at over there?
I'm thinking about my favorite character right now. You continue.
it gets your creative juices flowing, and whether you're a player or a DM, making a character backstory or making an entire world, a whole setting,
is what I'm doing.
it's really cool in my opinion, and it brings people together and everything. Landon, what's your favorite character you've made?
So the only one I actually got to use was the lizard.
Yeah.
And I forget his name, but I think it was something like Lizardo, which is very simple. And the reason he's like my favorite character is because in the campaign, when he actually like died, because he was the only one that died, and it was at the final boss, and we chose to go with a silly boss, and it was like a 9-year-old Fortnite dancing on us. And he sent like a whole spirit bomb. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to use this gnome as a conductor to save all my friends, and I got vaporized.
You sure it wasn't a boogie bomb? He danced. It's a 9-year-old Fortnite dancing kid. Throws out a boogie bomb, then you dance out of existence.
Oh, that's something we could talk about. Homebrew. D&D. You can either follow the rules or you can add anything. If you can make it.
The rules
in quotation marks, because you can either follow them or you can just completely ignore them.
As it puts in the first player's handbook, they are just guidelines. You don't have to follow them. You can just decide to do whatever you want.
Yeah, one of the funniest like homebrew items I saw someone make was like a cloak of looking cool, and literally all it did was you put it on and it would bellow in the wind. It would add like flutter behind you as if there were wind flowing, but there was no wind. It just made you look cool. It did nothing to your stats or anything. But that's all it did. It just makes you look cool.
That reminds me of a comic I saw where it was like a person was getting robbed and another guy was like, I save you. And like, we're indoors. There's no wind. We're indoors. Where is that wind coming from? Because his cape was flapping.
Oh, yeah. That's Spider-Man. Into the Spider-Verse, where it was like, he's like, Spider-Man Noir comes down. He's like, hey, fellas, like, where's the wind? We're in a cave. I love that so much.
D&D can cause so many fun, like, instances and stories and situations, and all of them are amazing. And you being able to control the character, you're able to create whatever you want and, like, control the story in ways. Like, we were sneaking around a mansion in the Candlekeep Mysteries, and my character, when people were lockpicking doors and going in, my character was just like, scorching rays.
Yes.
That's and burst down the door.
That's a funny thing is, if you have like the right people to play with and the right DM, it could be both. It could be both serious and both fun. Mr. Brett was a great DM in the fact that he could combine both silliness and seriousness. Like in the Candlekeep Mysteries, we were investigating the guy running the manor, and one of his cooks. We were like, two people were being good cop and bad cop.
Yeah, yeah. I was being bad cop, and yeah. Then we interrogated him so hard that he ended up like breaking down into tears and crying. Yeah. And like
and then immediately he started singing his comfort song, which was All Star by Smash Mouth. He's like, hey, now you're an All Star. Get your game on. And it was the funniest thing because he combined it both with the seriousness of being interrogated. And then, well, that wasn't really that serious because it was a good cop, bad cop.
Yes.
And then he started singing his comfort song, which was All Star, which is anybody's comfort song.
Of course.
And it was weird. It was fun. We had a lot of funny moments. I think I shoved your character into a painting.
You did. And they had like a Mario 64 type painting where if you went into it, you went to a different like part of the manor and something like that. And so
there was a giant griffin inside.
Yeah,
or it was just normal griffin.
It's called a rock.
Oh, a rock. It's a griffin like creature.
At first when I heard rock, I thought like a literal giant rock.
That's why I say griffin because
yeah.
A rock is a griffin.
I think it's ROQ.
No, ROC.
ROC. It's really weird.
Except afterwards, after that fight, I looked. He said that the room was like 30 by 30, and I looked it up, and the rock size was 15 feet high, and his wingspan was 30 feet. And I'm like, he didn't fit in that room correctly.
I know, it was great. So something else I want to talk about is kind of the mechanics of D&D and how you like do stuff. Landon, since you're the least experienced out of all of us, I want you to try and explain to everyone what the mechanics of D&D are, like what the dice are for.
So each dice correlates to like a specific thing. Like a D20 is like the normal like choice dice. If you get a 1, that's like a critical failure, and then if you get a 20, that's like a critical success. Some of the like the smaller dice, like a D4 or D6, is used like in combat, but it depends on like your character archetype. And then you have like these stats like strength, dexterity, like that kind of thing, wisdom, charisma, and you use the dice, or you can use like preset numbers to determine like your stats in each of those. And then you also have saving throws, which are like based on your class and your stats and just whatever in your race too. So it's
yeah. So we normally play 5th edition, which mm-hmm. is the most recent one. And I don't want to try and play the other editions. That's going to be way too complicated, way more complicated
after
to learn.
After you learn one edition, and then it's like, oh, yeah, now there's this one. And then it's like, oh, I have to relearn all the mechanics for different spells and stuff.
Yeah, it's a lot. But when you learn it, you learn it real quick, and you won't forget it because, like, you do a lot of the same stuff. So like Landon said, a D20 is what you would normally use for pretty much every roll. Like, you have your skills and you have your stats and stuff like that. So you could have, like, if you wanted to try and intimidate someone, you would roll to intimidate. But if you had a plus or minus in that, you would add that to your roll. So if you rolled, like, a 16 and I had a +2 to intimidation, it'd be an 18. So it would succeed more. Stuff like that. It gets complicated. You got to know how to add and subtract or multiply in case you want to be like some of the other people I know and try and metagame so hard that you
min-max
where you roll like 5 million die to attack one bird or something like that.
Min-maxing can be fun. However, I don't agree with min-maxing too much. Yeah. I think that it can be a lot of fun, but it can lead to funny moments, and I think that would be good for like one-shot campaigns.
It has, but like for I'm not a min-maxer. I wouldn't want to because, first of all, you'd have to like learn every single thing about everything to min-max. And for those who don't know, min-maxing is basically trying to make the most overpowered character possible to try and like get everything out of, which works. But like it also kind of takes away from it because D&D with your characters, it's also about the flaws of each character.
And about like the story, and you can't role play, or you can't do any of that whenever you min-max as much, because it's all right, but then min-maxing is all right and cool that you can do like 300 damage, but then you just like getting into a bar fight, and then it's no fun because you don't get to role play or do anything with that character if you just hit him in the head, and then that entire situation is just over.
Yeah, sometimes it takes the fun out of the game. Sometimes it can be really funny. Like, my friend Michael, he summoned like three giant apes to fight a giant dragon, which was like, all right, that works. It's cool sometimes, but sometimes it also kind of takes away from it. And then there's also the people who, like the edgelords.
Oh my gosh. Everyone, a lot of people who get into D&D, their first character becomes an edgelord.
Yeah, mine. That's kind of what I did. My Eric Cocker monk. He was just like, he was a brooding type. But then by the end of the campaign, I got a little better at being able to, you know, make a good character. Yeah. So he wasn't as bad by the end. But you know, he had the stereotypical deep voice. He was like, "Don't talk to me," and everything like that. Also, something I want to ask. Do y'all have you already listed a pretty funny moment. Do y'all have like any funny moments that you've had a character do? Cuz I've got one that was like a magical nat 20 roll that
Oh, like... no, I don't have that. I have a critical fail though.
What's that?
So, my first character, the sorcerer Birdman, I tried flying him up to a mountain cuz we were going up there to challenge whatever like demigod, I think it was, but he was a demigod of lightning. Mm-hmm. And I was flying in the sky, you know, pretty visible. And so I rolled with disadvantage, rolled a one, which with disadvantage and like a horrible dex save, I ended up getting struck with lightning and then falling 100 feet into a water below.
Did he die?
I did, but I got revived. But still, like, I was just like, I'm just going to fly to the top, thinking that I had beat the DM. And he just was like, all right, roll a dex save. I was like, With disadvantage. I'm like, why? He's like, just do it. I did it. And he's like, all right, as you're flying up to the sky, a bolt of lightning as bright as the sun strikes your character with a loud crack and boom, and your other party members see your charred body falling from the sky and splash into the lake below. And I was like, oh, fun.
That's not good.
How many hit points are you're dead? All right.
Tasty.
You see, I have one also with my Eric Cockra. So the whole campaign was basically trying to find this guy who was terrorizing this country, and had a bunch of small settlements in each like section of the country. Mm-hmm. So we were going to the first section to try and fight this guy, or find his general or whatever to take them down. We find the fort. It's like it's a basic level one. So we try to sneak in. I roll very high and assassinate one of the people. I'm not going to go into too big of description because I feel like we might have to edit it out if I do.
Keep it PG. Keep it PG.
So we got the person that we needed to, and then we were trying to save these other people that they had tied up in the middle of like the camp, like to poles and everything. So we snuck over there. I snuck over there because my stealth was stupidly high. And I was starting to uncut them, and then somehow the rest of the party tried to sneak over, but like really, really screwed up on their rolls. And so every enemy saw us. And then as a last ditch effort, I yell out, "All right, everybody, roll an intimidation check." As a player, I was like, "We need to intimidate all of these guys." And so everyone rolled. Everyone got really low, except for me, when I rolled a nat 20 on intimidation, and I say to my sister who's DMing, basically what I do is I T-pose on all of them, but I have my wings out as well, so it adds to the effect, so it's a double T-pose to intimidate everyone. And my sister describes this as, you T-pose so hard, everyone in the camp either runs away or dies trying. they're all so scared of you. And she was like, your eyes light up red. It's like there's intense music behind you.
Why do I hear boss music?
And then she described as like a banshee, like covering her face, but and screaming, so the blast goes directly back into her face.
Yeah.
And everybody else is just running, and I'm like, that worked somehow.
Yeah. Every decision you make can have effects. Like my character getting struck with lightning, after I got my character came back, he had a fear of lightning, which is in like thunder, which is a effect from some spells and moves.
Yep.
And whenever he heard it, he had to run away from that area of what was happening, which ended up being really bad. So in D&D, yes, you can do whatever you want, but there are still consequences for the people who are trying to purposely ruin your DM's day. And there are certain players we call them murder hobos.
Yes.
They run around killing NPCs to gain easy experience and other stuff.
Like, most of the time, they don't roleplay. They just go around and, like, I attack it. I roll to attack. And it just, like...
For fireball! yeah.
So you see a door in front of you. What do? I cast fireball. What?
Every situation, fireball. And yes, while we're saying this and it's like funny, in reality, that ruins the campaign and like the time that you get to spend with other players and stuff. Cause it ends up just not being fun for everyone. And
my thought process is a character who has flaws is one of the best characters you can make. Cause I love role playing in the game. I know some people they find role-playing kind of annoying in D&D, and I'm like, why are you playing D&D? Play a different tabletop RPG. Or just don't play tabletop RPGs. But, like, character has flaws, and you can flesh them out as a character. Like, you don't want someone who just, oh, I'm super strong all the time, and I rush in, and I save the day. You want someone who is, like, more relatable and everything like that.
Oh, I had a Cyclops who was, like, really big and strong, but he had a really, like...
very high-pitched voice, and he was very sensitive about it. And if you made fun of him for it, he would cry.
He would
out of his one big eye.
Apparently, Landon thinks he would murder everybody.
Yeah, I thought that's what you were going for.
No. He would cry out of his one big eye. That was the joke.
Sad.
That is it sad. Is,
but it's like that's the character. That's fun because you know I get to now. Build on top of that, and eventually he got over like being sensitive about it.
And then he hit puberty.
No, he was already like 20 something. He was an adult.
Yeah.
But
so one last thing I want to mention for people: what do you think people should do if they want to get into D&D?
If they want to get into D&D, gosh. Here in Bryant, there aren't a lot of tabletop like places that you can go check D&D out. There are a few scattered around here and there in like Little Rock and other places. I know that there's one really close by in Bryant called Archangel Gaming. But then like most libraries have stuff like that.
Yeah, like spaces that you can like
spaces that you rent. Can like play D&D or whatever. And then a lot of people who play D&D end up going to libraries anyways and stuff like that. And then online, if you go to like Reddit or other stuff, or there's Discords for D&D.
Yeah, I know some people may be like, oh, you have to play in person to get the full experience. You really don't. Like if you have a great D&D who's good at describing things, a DM that's good at describing things, then you can play online or over voice chat and it works. For me, I'd say try and watch people playing D&D first and try and get a feel for if you like it, because you don't want to just go in expecting one thing and then getting completely like blindsided by like something else. So I'd like listen to a D&D podcast or watch like Critical Role or something. Like try and see what it's all about before you play it.
I also know that the school does have a buzz time for D&D.
I think it's more like an intro like to make your character.
I've been in it. The teacher kind of lets people do their own things, and so there's, like, mini one-shots that people are doing, and then there's some other people that are just hanging out, and then there's some people actually, like, trying to create characters or whatever. But if you, like, go talk to the teacher, it's Miss Pope, or, yep. like, if you go talk to the people who are in there, most of them have a pretty good grasp on D&D. Just talk with them, and then they'll, like, help you out. Most of them are friendly, so.
Landon, do you have any final thoughts?
If you want to get into D&D, here's my three little tips for you. Understand basic arithmetic. If you don't like to go into a whole thing about making a character, go find one of those things online that are like shortcuts. And if you can't do that, just go to a random character generator and make Snorlog the Garbarian.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. There's a thing called D&D Online or D&D Beyond, and then like Roll 20. It's an easy guide.
It's super beginner friendly.
Very first player.
It's kind of limited unless you buy the books online.
But still, for a very first time player, then it's really good.
Yeah, it's super beginner friendly. They have like a tips and help thing that you can check, and it'll like basically walk you through the whole thing. And it's also very easy to keep track of your stats. That's what I use for my character sheets instead of writing them down all the time. All right. Any final thoughts about D&D in general?
It's good.
It's very good.
It is good.
I enjoy it a lot. I like to play it a lot. If you want to host a game, hit me up. I'll play with you. Landon?
Same.
10 out of 10. Would recommend get vaporized like I did.
Holding a gnome.
Yeah.
And then, ooh, really, really quick. I have to do this. So for the... current game that I'm DMing, which Eli is in, actually.
Hello.
It's a it's right at the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, and I have this voice that I do for new things. And as we mentioned, the Arc Phone. So, really quick. Hello and welcome to this new device called the Arc Phone. It guides you wherever you need to be. It keeps track of your Pokemon and quests. Please pick up today for $9.99, only $9.99. And if you order now, we have a bundle deal where you get 10 Pokeballs.
And that's that. Sorry, yeah. I had to do that.
It's amazing. What's funny is I actually borrowed that voice because I'm an artificer in that campaign, and I like run like a little market thing, and he's like, try and sell something to someone. I want a pitch deal. And so I like make modern inventions. Like I made a flashlight out of a stick and enchanting it with a light that lights up. So it looks like it's a flashlight. Yeah. And so I went to look at this very new revolutionary device. It'll light up in a direction that you pointed at.
All right.
Wow. All right. Well, I want to thank you both for joining me. It's been very fun talking about Dungeons and Dragons with y'all. As always, I've been Eli Hill, and with me, I've had
Asher Bird
and
Landon Boyd.
And this has been What's Happening Hornets.
See ya.